Chapter 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20, look down about verse 28, and we'll start right there. Acts chapter 20, down to verse 28, we'll begin reading. The Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Before I go on, I might ask you again, remember to pray for Brother Hodges. Went by to see them this afternoon, and they were able to watch this morning on YouTube, so that's good, and I'm glad they were. But pray for them, all right? Pray for them. The Apostle Paul here is warning some folks. He's speaking, I remind you again, he's speaking here to the Ephesian elders, the city there of Ephesus. And he sounds a warning. Not only does he sound a warning, but you get down to verse 31. Now he said, I've told you, all right, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you. So he said, you need to be aware of it. You need to realize that there's trouble coming down the road. And so as believers, we like to think, or at least hope, that everything is going to be all right. And to be honest with you, everything is going to be all right, all right? Now, we may have to go through some troubles and trials, but, hey, everything in the long run is going to be okay. But we ought to be kind of optimistic people. We ought to be folks that have great confidence in our God. But the thing that happens, sometimes that confidence causes us to be a little careless about it. And coupled with the fact that sometimes maybe we have a tendency to trust people too much, and we get into problems, all right? We get into problems. You said, what kind of problems? Well, the kind that Paul's warning about, the kind that he is warning about, all right? Those folks in Ephesus needed the admonition of Paul, but we need it today. We need to heed today what he warned them about, because the devil is just as alive and well and active today as he was then, all right? Well, we need to be aware of it. He's after you as an individual. He's after you. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. He's after you as an individual. He's after the church. Any church is preaching the word of God, is preaching the truth, the devil's after that church. He would like to destroy that church. I kind of feel like he'd like to destroy pretty much any church, because folks in the world lump all churches together. People that don't know any better, they lump every church in together. They think one church is same as another, and it does. They don't know any different. And so they rejoice. We've heard in the last few weeks, I guess, this Gateway Church that's around, man, they've been going through all kinds of problems and troubles, and just there it is. Well, the devil's after churches, all right? He's after individual Christians. He's after families, and he's after us. So what are we to do? Well, we're to watch out. We're to be on guard. We're to be careful. We're to do what the Bible says, that we're to be aware lest Satan get an advantage of us, lest he get an advantage of us. So we're to stay focused, all right? You say, how? Well, you need to realize, if you would, the reality. The reality is there are devouring wolves on the way. Notice that's what the Apostle Paul said. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. He said, the wolves are on the way. They're coming. That's the reality of every age. Hey, it happened just as Paul said it would happen. And it's true in every age, we can never give up that watchfulness, that vigilance that we're supposed to have, because the wolves are always going to be there. They're always going to be there. I remember watching TV shows and reading books and how here's a guy out and he's trying to make it, you know, maybe he's injured and here come the wolves. Here come the wolves. Well, hey, that's on TV show, but in reality, those wolves are there after the Christian, all right? He said it was going to happen after he left. There's no doubt it did. There's no doubt it's happening now. Just none whatsoever. That's why the Lord admonished us the way he did in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Because those wolves are part of the end time scene. Take your Bible over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, look down in verse 24, if you would. Matthew 24, verse 24. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 24 of Matthew 24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Bible says false Christ, false apostles, false prophets are going to come. We have that. We have that take place down through the years. And in my lifetime, there's been many people that have claimed to be Jesus Christ. I think Sun Young Moon claimed to be Jesus Christ. The name that always comes to mind, and I don't know why it does, but it was a guy when I was a kid named Father Divine. Father Divine, he was up around New York in that part of the country and northeast, and he claimed to be Christ. He told his followers, "When I die, don't bury me, hang around, I'm going to rise from the dead." They're still hanging around and he's still dead, all right? Because he was not Christ. But he deceived a lot of people. He deceived a lot of people. Hadn't been that long ago that Jim Jones took that crowd to Guyana. What was it? He's a false prophet. And he took those folks. They followed him out of the country, followed him in his false teaching. They followed him and wind up dead. Why? Because he's a wolf, all right? He's a wolf, and they're part of that end time scene. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Well, Matthew 24, 25, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Said, he's not there, all right? Don't you buy into their lies. Said, you watch out for that. You realize that they are false. You're to be aware of that. You're to understand the reality that those wolves will be there. But the second thing you need to do is be able to recognize that opposition. Recognize that opposition. Look back in Acts chapter 20, would you? I want you to notice where it's going to come from. Notice where it's going to come from. In verse 29, Paul said, "Shall grievous wolves enter in among you?" They're going to come from without, all right? They're going to come from without. You need to recognize the wolf when you meet him. Now, the only way to do that, okay, the only way to do that is you need to have this book in you. Now, you say, "Preacher, why do you just harp on read your Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible?" So you'll be able to tell the false prophet and the wolf when you see him. You meet that one, you'll recognize him. You won't recognize him if you're not familiar with the truth. You just won't do it. Though they're out there, you need to recognize them. They're after the flock. They come in a lot of varieties. All kinds of varieties. I understand there's different varieties of wolves. Well, there's different varieties of human wolves too, all right? But every one of them can be very, very dangerous. Every one of them can be very, very dangerous. Now, one of the worst things about those two-legged ones is some of them, they really sound good. Man, do they sound good. They take the Word of God, some of the Word of God, And they present it in a wonderful way. And they preach something that appeals to you. There is a gospel being preached today that is known as the prosperity gospel. Now, those preachers of the prosperity gospel don't call it that. They may call it the word of faith. But basically, they're the name it and claim it bunch. Gab and grab, if you will, all right? If you'll speak it, you can have it. And they promise you, hey, look, you can be wealthy, you can be healthy, you can have all of those things, but you just got to be careful how you speak, because, you know, it's what you speak, it moves against you, or it can help you along the way. You said, who does that kind of stuff? Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Joel Osteen. Now, one of those three is entertaining as all get out to listen to. The other two, I can't stomach them very much, all right? But there's one of them is very entertaining. But I'm not telling you who, because I don't want you to go listen, all right? So now you're going to go listen to all three, all right? And I wish you wouldn't, all right? I wish you wouldn't do that. But, I mean, you're wasting your time. One of them, though, is funny. I mean, he's funny. But what they say kind of sounds good. And they'll give you some scripture. But they're very careful about how they apply that scripture. You know, they would tell you things like, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. That is not necessarily so. It's not necessarily so. Were that so, then the Apostle Paul missed it. He wasn't a healthy man. He wasn't a wealthy man. I mean, he continually had problems. All right? He continually dealt with some issues. If that gospel's true, then Paul was a failure amongst believers, all right? Hey, but it's not true. It's heresy. You say, why is it heresy? Because it's not biblical, that's why. And there is so much of that out there, their own television, their own Christian television. Watch out, okay? Don't watch them, but watch out for that kind of stuff. It is just not biblical, and the truth is it is twisted. And they're out there to make a buck, and they want it off of you. They want it off of you. Hey, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Paul warned about those kind. They're the wolves. They come in from without, and they try to move in. The Jehovah's false witness, they're in that same group. Same group, all right? The very same group. They teach a false doctrine. They'll come along and teach you and try to. Now, they come appealingly, because I remember one of them came and knocked on our door one time years ago. I mean, years ago. And I answered the door, and this fellow was standing there, and he said, "You want to talk to you about the kingdom?" Well, immediately I knew you're Jehovah's Witness. Also, they were carrying a satchel, all right? And they've got all kinds of literature. And so I said, "Man, I'm not interested." And he said, "You're not interested in the kingdom?" I said, "No, I'm not interested in your version of the kingdom, all right? They've got a false witness, all right? False witness. Now, you find the same thing among the Mormons. Find the same thing among them. They preach a false gospel. They're wolves out for the flock, okay? It's amazing to me how often they show up when somebody gets saved. Somebody gets saved. I don't know, the devil just seems to send them. I could testify in times past people that have been saved here, and they'd be coming, boy, every service, and all of a sudden they weren't here. And then you go to see them, "Hey, we missed you. Oh, well, my cousin or my aunt or my uncle, they've invited us over to their church." Yeah, but they were letting you go to hell. They never invited you anywhere. You were on the way to hell. Now you got saved and they're after you. Boy, I've seen multitudes of Christians pulled aside, devoured by those wolves, all right, because they seek to lead you into their false doctrine. And you said, well, what am I supposed to do? Do what God says. He said, watch out. Watch out. Take your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you're going to watch, here's the way you watch, okay? Here's the way you watch. 1 John chapter 4. This is the gospel, not the gospel of John, but the little epistle of John, close to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. Are you there? Notice what it says. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Hey, let me just read that one more time. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many, not a few, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Now, how do you try them? With the Word of God. All right? You try them with the Word of God. You measure what they're saying up against this book. All right? You just measure what they're saying up against what the Bible has to say. You look out for it. You look out for it. It's amazing how you can be deceived from the Scriptures. I'll give you, I guess, my favorite one is if we read in, it's in the book of Acts, all right? Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. All right, chapter 27. All right? All right, here you are, Acts chapter 27. Look at verse 15. I want you to notice there the very last phrase in this verse. The Bible said, we let her drive. Okay? Now, is that not scriptural? Is that what your Bible says? We let her drive? Come on, anybody, your Bible doesn't say it. That's what the Bible says, all right? All right, verse 18. Verse 17. The last phrase, and so were driven. Okay? You got it? We let her drive, and so were driven. Verse 20. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Men, it's unscriptural. Don't let the women drive. It's right there in your Bible. I've tried to give it to you straight from the King James Bible. Okay? Now, hopefully you know good and well I'm kidding. All right? You say, preacher, nobody does. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. People do things just as strange with the Word of God by picking and choosing some here and some there and some over here and ignoring a whole lot of the rest of it and picking and choosing what works for what they want to teach, and they seek to lead you into their false doctrine. So the thing you have to do is to be aware of it. You need to watch out. You need to try the spirits. You try them to see whether they're of God. Just because it sounds good, not a reason to be taken in. Yeah, man, it doesn't. Just not a reason to be taken in. Look, if somebody were to come to you and to say to you, listen, God wants you to be healthy. Now, on the surface, that sounds mighty fine. And it sounds like something that God would want. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy. God is concerned about you. He is. And, you know, that sounds good. And then when somebody says, look, God wants you to be wealthy, because the Bible does say, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Somebody said, that's the way I want my wallet to be, running over. Hey, but you be careful, all right? That crowd that comes and gives you that good sounding thing, and it appeals to our flesh. They come with a very slick presentation. But it's no reason for you and I to mistake the fact we're looking at a wolf. We're looking at a wolf. You be careful. You learn to try the spirits. You get in the Word of God. You try that. Paul said it. If somebody come and preach any other doctrine than what you've received, let him be accursed. Now that's what Paul said. All right, that's what he said in the Scriptures. If somebody comes with any other doctrine, let him be accursed. Hey, they're going to come from without. But sometimes the most serious wolves come from within. They come from within. They get kind of homegrown. They come from folks that seem to be like us. Now, you've heard me say I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. That's what I am. I am that right there, all right? But I want you to know there's some guys out there that claim to be that they're nothing like me. And they're nothing like most other independent fundamental Baptists. And I'll just go ahead and name one of them. One of them is Stephen Anderson. And I'd encourage you not to look him up on the web. I'd encourage you not to waste your time with him. He's a denier of the Holocaust. All right? He's one that would say that God's through with the Jew. God's not through with the Jew. Not by a long shot is he through with the Jew. He said, man, that nation's going to be born in a day. They're going to be born again in a day. That day's coming. He's not through with them. But there's folks like that out there in the world that they've come up and they begin to teach a weird doctrine, a very weird doctrine, all right? Watch out for those folks that claim to have found some new thing. Man, I found something new in the Bible. Hey, if it's new, it ain't true. All right? But if it's true, it's not new. It's not new. You don't have to get swallowed into that stuff. I've said before, I've read some guys that they found things in the Bible I don't think God knows is there. Because it's not there. I mean, they get into prophecy and they've got so much stuff. I go, whoa, man, where in the world are you digging that from? You need to be aware of that, all right? You need to be aware that there's wolves out there. They will come. They will take. Sometimes they get within the flock and they come from within. They begin to sow discord. They sow discord among the brethren. You need to look out for that kind of crowd. You need to look out for them. They begin to come together and, you know, if they can find some little point, they're almost like a chicken. If a chicken will find a little wound on another chicken, all the other chickens will peck him to death. That's what happens a lot of times in churches. Hey, it can come within. Be on guard for that kind of stuff. Be on guard. I've told you the way we deal with it is simple. The way we deal with it, if somebody comes to you talking about somebody else in the church, don't listen, but don't say, just shut up, leave me alone. Don't do that. Take them by the arm and say, let's go see. Let's go see the person you're talking about. Let's just go see them. And you tell me in front of them what it is you want to tell me. If they immediately start, oh, no, 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 you know what you're dealing with. You know what you're dealing with. Look out for those that'll sow discord. Discontentment. Hey, you take them by the arm and say, well, let's go see Brother So-and-so. Let's go see Miss So-and-so. Let's go see that person you said. If that's what they're doing or that's what they're saying, let's go talk to them. Let's get to it. You can put a stop to that kind of stuff. Man, you don't know how many churches get destroyed from that very thing. That very thing. Hey, there's wolves. They come from within. They come from without. So we need to remember something. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, Acts chapter 20. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Remember, why? So you won't be surprised. You won't be surprised. Look, we've been given the warning. We've been given the warning. We're warned many, many places in Scripture. Many places in Scripture, we're warned of what is coming. We're warned about the devil. We're warned that he is an angel of light, can transform himself to an angel of light. We're warned that he is a liar. He's the father of it, okay? We're warned about those things. Well, so don't be surprised when you see it. Don't be surprised when you see it. When I see what's going on in the world today, I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. When I see so many churches changing, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. Why? Because the Lord said it. The Lord warned us this was going to take place. He warned us when he said, hey, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? When he returns, will he find faith? You read those seven churches in Revelation. You get to that Laodicean church, and you'll find a church that is messed up as can be. Just messed up worldly, but they've got a form of godliness. But that's all. Just a form of it, all right? Now, don't be surprised if it happens. Second thing, don't be swayed. Don't be swayed. Take a Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's a verse here that I just want you to consider that verse for a second, all right? Once again, the Lord has inspired the writer to say this to us. And he says to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now notice, carried about with every, not with every doctrine, but with every wind of doctrine. You know, sometimes the wind blows real, real strong. But sometimes it's hardly discernible. It's just very gentle. There's not much to it, all right? And it's barely there. Well, the Bible says we're not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. There needs to be more than just a hint of truth in the teaching of what we accept and what we follow. It doesn't need to just have a little bit. A little bit, no. It needs to have the full dose. The full dose. You take medicine and it comes in different strengths. When I'm in pain, I don't want the weakest part you can give me. Man, give me something that'll help. Give me something that'll help. I don't want just a hint of it. But man, we see people get blown about by just any old little wind of doctrine. It doesn't have to be much. It ought to just do more than just sound good. You with me? It ought to do more than just sound good. It ought to do more than appeal to our flesh. It needs to meet the test of Scripture. What does the Bible say? Not going to be carried about with it. It doesn't matter what someone else might think. Doesn't matter what somebody else might like. And it doesn't matter how good of an argument men can get up to back their doctrine. Doesn't matter. I've heard people argue for positions with almost no scripture. Almost no scripture. I know somebody that's dealing with the issue that against the Trinity, that it's Jesus only. And that individual has sent me some little snippets, I guess you would say, video of the people espousing that false doctrine. And I listen to it, and I'm so interested to hear them say it's not scripture. They'll mention a scripture, and then they will explain. Okay? If Jesus is the only God there is, and it's only Jesus, then who was he talking to when he was in the garden and he prayed to his Father? Who was he talking to? If Jesus only, can I ask you this? The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's seated beside himself. Hey, there's other things in there. On the day of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ stood before the disciples. Two witnesses were there. Elijah and Moses, they came. Was Elijah and Moses? I'm not preaching heresy, am I? All right, it was Elijah and Moses that were there. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The voice from heaven wasn't Jesus as a ventriloquist. All right? It wasn't that. And he stood there, and then the Bible says the Holy Spirit was there too, like a dove. I'm just telling you, there's three parts of the Trinity. You say, "Well, I can't understand that." It's hard for this little feeble mind to hang on to it too. So I just take what the Bible says and believe it. I just take what the Bible says. Now, if I'm wrong, get to heaven, the Lord wants to beat my britches off, then I guess he can do that, all right? But I'd rather believe the Bible and go there believing what he said than making my argument, not from Scripture, but a man's logic, arguing to it, all right? Hey, you be careful. Don't you be swayed. Don't you be swayed by false doctrine. Don't do it, all right? Doesn't matter what somebody thinks. Doesn't matter what somebody else might like. Your argument, my argument, should never trump what the Bible says. Ever, ever. Thirdly, don't be switching allegiance. Don't be switching allegiance. Now, if you've rooted for the Cowboys for years, and you decide to root for the Dolphins, it's okay with me. You're not switching allegiance. You're rooting for a football team. All right. When I say don't switch allegiance, here's what I mean. Our allegiance is to be with God and not with any man, not with any men. There are plenty of men in our day who seem to be much more focused on building their own empire than they are on doing a work that pleases God. Now, I want to invite you back to Acts chapter 20. I want to invite you back to Acts chapter 20 because I don't want you to sit there and think, "Well, it's your opinion." Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just reading the Bible, all right? Verse 30. Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Remember I said there's going to be wolves from without. There'll be some from within. "Those within also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things." Notice, "to draw away disciples after them." After them. Hey, can I say this to you? The only thing I would say to you, you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. But our total allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to our God. It is not to any other man. But there are so many today that's what they seem to be doing. They want the allegiance to them, and they want disciples after them, and draw away disciples after them. Hey, that's what Jim Jones did. That's what he did. That's what a multitude are doing in our day. Follow me, follow me. Look at me, look at me. Hey, you believe what I teach you. Hey, I want you to believe what this book says. I want you to believe the Word of God with all this within you. When I'm dead and gone, I want some folks that will still believe this book, still stand on the Word of God without apology, without coming to somebody else, and without having to go to somebody else and say, can you tell me what it means? You read what it says and believe what it says. Believe that book, all right? God's warned us today, just as Paul warned the Ephesian elders. We're to be aware of those around that are wolves. We're to recognize them. We're to turn away from that stuff. We're to turn away from them. Don't become followers. Don't get swayed. Don't switch allegiance, all right? Don't switch allegiance. Don't say, well, there's been some folks over here, they've done wrong, so I'm not going to be one of them. Look, there's people in every group. There's people in every association that have done wrong. They've done wrong. There's people in Walmart that have done wrong. You still shop Walmart. And you said, that's beneath me, okay? There's people at Neiman Marcus that have done wrong, and you want to shop there? Go ahead and waste your money, all right? Just go ahead. But you hear me, okay? Don't switch allegiance. I'm following Jesus. I'm following my God. I'll walk with Him. I'll talk with Him. I'll serve Him. And I'm not going to let somebody come in. Not going to let somebody come in and devour me. And as the pastor of this church, I'm going to fight with everything I've got to keep somebody else from coming in and devouring you. Don't want it to take place. It's happened multitudes of times all over this world, down through history. But it won't happen to you if you'll try the spirits. You'll try the spirits to see whether they're of God. We sometimes forget that Satan is very powerful. He's good at imitating God. He's real good at imitating God. You need to stay aware of that. Don't you be fooled. You stick with the book, all right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We've read and taken a look at what Paul warned the Ephesians elders about. Lord, we look around us, we see and know and realize there's plenty of false doctrine being taught and pushed in our day. Lord, there's folks out there building their own empire, trying to draw away disciples after them. Lord, I don't want us to get pulled away into that. I want us to remember, all right? Remember, I want us to never be swayed. I want us that we'd never switch allegiance.